Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is it? What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you to speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if I were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it."
Thank you, Dennis. Do keep that reading open on page 60, and there'll be some things up on the screen as well to help us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word given for us. We thank you for this word written more than 3,000 years ago and yet still totally relevant. And we pray that you would speak to each one of us as we have need. Amen. I can't do that. I don't have what it takes. They won't listen to me. They won't accept me. It's not even worth trying. I wonder if you've ever thought any of those things. Most of us have, I guess, at one point or another. And sometimes we're right. But sometimes we're not. But it's very easy to develop a mindset, a way of thinking that says, I can't. It won't work. They won't. And it may be a particular issue around here. Not so long ago, Archbishop Centimi was with us, and one of his observations to a group of school children was that people in East Yorkshire can be quite negative. I wonder whether anyone here has that mindset or is in danger of developing such a mindset. Well, if you are or you see something like that in yourself, you're in good company, because as we heard in our reading, that's exactly the way that Moses was. God's people Israel are in slavery in Egypt. Moses, an Israelite, was brought up an Egyptian prince, but fled after killing an Egyptian slave master. And God has just appeared to Moses in a burning bush and has said, "The time has come for me to rescue my people. With a mighty hand, I'm going to bring them out of Egypt so they can be free to worship and know me. And Moses, I'm going to use you to do it." And last week, Moses began to respond to tease out from God what exactly he expected from him. And now today we have three more questions or comments from Moses, more and more desperate as he does whatever he can to get off the hook, to avoid God's call on his life. And we're going to see today if there was any doubt before that God is the hero of the Exodus. This summer we've got two big blockbuster superhero films, haven't we? But there's no Spider-Man or Wonder Woman to rescue God's people. It's all God's work. But we're also going to see that he does his work through weak and fragile people like you and me. We'll see that the sovereign and good God, that is the God who's in control and the God who is supremely good, is saving a people through weak instruments like you and me for his glory. But it's just worth asking for a moment at the start, how do we apply what this passage says to ourselves today? Because as we've seen over the years, every story in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ. As we interpret a story from the Old Testament, we need to go via the ministry of Christ. So here's something that I concocted during the week. Down the bottom, there's a timeline. We've got the Exodus period there. We've got the ministry of Jesus on earth in the middle. And then we've got us today. What is true throughout history is that God remains the same. God is always the same. He doesn't change. And in the Exodus story as a whole, Moses is a picture, gives us a foretaste of Jesus. He's the Savior, the Deliverer that God uses. But in this particular passage, there's also a contrast between Moses and Christ. Moses disobeys and questions God. Christ always obeys and trusts. Moses fails, Christ succeeds. Moses' frail humanity is very obvious in this passage. So I think we can make a connection between Moses, the weak human being, used by God almost in spite of himself, and Christians today. Christians who are frail yet who have the Holy Spirit and who God uses to build his church. The sovereign and good God is saving a people through weak instruments for his glory. Well, there are three questions or comments that Moses has, and we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at those three. First of all, I don't have the authority. God's just said, verse 18, the elders of Israel will listen to you. But Moses says, verse 1, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? He might have added, I've already had my fingers burnt when I killed that slave master and then spoke to some Israelites. They said to me, who are you to judge and rule over us? I don't have the authority to do this errand that you're sending me on, God. It'll just get thrown back in my face. And we can have the same mindset, can't we? I wonder if you've ever had the opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus Christ, and you've thought to yourself, I don't have the right to impose my personal beliefs on them. Or I'm not important enough to take on that role at work or at church. Or I can't dictate to my children what they should think. I don't have the authority. Well, God's response to Moses is, it's not about your authority, it's about my authority. Verse 2, the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, has appeared to you. The Lord gives Moses three signs. That's the first one, the snake. Then there's his hand becoming leprous. Then there's water from the Nile turning to blood. And he says, with these signs, the people will believe you. Why are these signs so convincing? Well, because each sign has a particular message. So the kings of Egypt wore a crown adorned with a spitting cobra, threatening God's enemies. And the cobra crown was also a representative of the sun god Re, the most powerful god in Egypt. So this sign is effectively saying the Lord God is more powerful than Pharaoh and his gods. Leprosy was thought by the Egyptians to be an incurable disease, a terrible curse on a person's health. And yet the Lord God can give and take away leprosy with ease. The River Nile was seen as the source of life in Egypt. It was the Nile that gave the region its fertility. To destroy the water of the Nile was to destroy Egypt itself. So with these three signs, God is saying, I am bigger, I am stronger, I am the only true God. I am who I am. I, God, have the authority. And if I choose to send you, Moses, then you have my authority. Well, what does that mean for us today? Well, it means that when God calls us to do something, we go with his authority. And we may feel weak, we may feel inadequate, but if he's called us to it, we'll go with his authority, and we exercise that authority through his word, the Bible. So all of us are called, we thought a while ago, didn't we, to be salt and light. As we go to work, as we go to school, as we meet up with unbelieving family, we go as God's people, salt and light. God's hand, God's authority is with us. Again, all of us are told to give a reason for the hope that we have as we have opportunity. And that means as we speak of Jesus to others, and as we open the Bible with them, we don't speak with our own authority, we speak with God's authority. And God is the God of the whole world. Should I keep my beliefs to myself? Well, of course not. I'm God's ambassador, speaking with God's authority. There are other things particular people are called to, and they have God's authority as they do them. So parents are called to teach their children and bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. We have God's authority as we do that, according to God's word. God has the authority. The sovereign and good God is saving a people through weak instruments for his glory. Well, Moses goes on to say, I don't have the ability. Verse 10, have a look at verse 10. Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. You're sending me to speak to the Israelites and Pharaoh, but I can't do it. Speaking's never been my strong suit. Tell me to go and beat up an Egyptian slave driver and I'll do that, no problem. Tell me to go and herd some sheep and I'll be fine. But don't tell me to go and speak to Pharaoh. I'm literally thick of lip and fat of tongue. It's just not my picnic. Well, how can we be the same as Moses? I think many of us understate our abilities. We think we can't do things when, if we try, we can. Perhaps someone suggested a particular role to you in church life, but you just don't think you have the ability or the time to do it. And I should say, I regularly feel completely inadequate when I get up to preach or prepare to. Perhaps there's been an opportunity to serve in the community or at work in a different way, and you don't think you've got what it takes. Well, how does God respond? Verse 11. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. In short, God gives you the ability. Now, there are some challenging words, aren't there, in these verses. Does God really make people deaf and mute? Does he really make people blind? Some people will say that it's never God's will for someone to be ill or disabled. They try to excuse God, to let him off the hook in that way. But the problem is that's not what this verse says, is it? And if we believe God's word has authority, we have to take that seriously. And also, it's not much of a comfort to a person who's facing something like this, if all we can say is, well, it's not God's will, but there you go. We were talking about this passage on Monday as a staff, and John said something which he said he was happy for me to quote him on. You may know that John's eyesight is poor, and John said he's delighted that these verses are in the Bible, because it tells him that God has a good purpose in making his eyesight poor. God is working out his purposes for his glory, even through John's poor eyesight. We think of illness and disability as ultimate bads, don't we? And they are bad. They're not part of God's original creation. But we easily forget that God can use bad things to bring about good purposes. And he does. God gives you the ability. And I think this helps us to see that God gives us the ability in such a way that he gets the glory. He deliberately uses weak people, weak instruments. So we can't boast that it was me who did it. Rather, we recognize it was God working through us. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about a thorn that God has given him in his flesh that makes life more difficult for him. It's not a literal thorn, it's just a way of expressing something that's hard. And he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, part of Moses' problem, and perhaps part of our problem, is that when something needs to be done, we think it's all up to us. We think we have to be kind of a superman or a superwoman. If we're not, there's no point even trying, so we don't. But it's God's work. If God wants something to happen, he'll make it happen. And he'll use weak instruments like you and me, so he gets the glory. So if you're asked to take on a role in a church or in the community or at work and you don't think you're up to it, then that in itself is not a reason to say no. It might actually be a reason to say yes. God uses weak instruments. My power is made perfect in weakness. 3rd, I don't want to. Moses has run out of excuses. There's nothing else to say. So verse 13, Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Can you imagine having a conversation with God and saying that? But actually, we can have the same attitude, can't we? Perhaps it's become clear to us as we've been reading the Bible that a particular way of living is not God's will, but we're refusing to change. Or perhaps we've been coming along on a Sunday for a while and finding out about the Christian faith, and we're convinced it's true, but we just don't want to take that step of repenting, of turning around and trusting in Jesus. Well, look at God's gracious response to Moses. Initially, he's angry, and he doesn't let Moses off the hook. He doesn't say, okay, you don't have to go, but he does give him the help that he thinks he needs. He says, I will do it. Verse 14. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I'll help both of you speak, and will teach you what to do. And of course, that reinforces the fact that it's not our work, it's God's work. So are you holding out against some kind of lifestyle change you know is necessary? Well, God says you've got to do it. There's no choice in the matter, but he'll give you the grace, he'll enable you to do it. Are you resisting becoming a Christian? Well, God says to be part of God's people, to enjoy the blessings of knowing Christ, to be saved from hell for heaven, you've got to do it. But he'll give you the grace to do it and to enjoy it. The sovereign and good God is saving a people through weak instruments for his glory. Well, as we close, let's go back to those initial statements. I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. They won't listen to me. What we've seen is that in one sense, those statements are right. I can't do it by myself. I don't have what it takes by myself. The question is, where is our confidence? We shouldn't be confident in ourselves. And too often, people try to do the Lord's work in their strength, and that's dangerous. As a culture, we've made God small, haven't we? And we've made ourselves big, and we think it all depends on us. And very quickly, we realize we're not up to the job. But God never intended us to take it all on ourselves. He always intended us to look not at ourselves, but at him, to put our confidence in him. That's why this passage and many like it is in the Bible. That we see Moses isn't the hero. God is the hero. And as we enlarge our view of God, so we will say we can do it in God's power, by God's grace. So as we close, just for a few moments, let's gaze on the true God, the God of the Bible, the God who can do it, even through us. This is the God who created the universe with a word. The God who created the first man and woman out of dust and breathed life into them to teach us that we're utterly dependent on him for everything, even breath and life. The God who rescued his people from the superpower of the day, using a weak instrument, Moses, who was thick of lip and fat of tongue. The God who humbled Egypt with mighty plagues. All Moses did was hold out a staff, God did the rest. This is the God who again and again in the Old Testament showed the rulers of the superpowers, Babylon and Persia, who was really in charge. And he used a weak and despised people, the Jews, to do it. This is the God who, when God's people were despairing of the Messiah ever coming, used the emperor of the world, Caesar Augustus, to issue a decree so his Messiah might be born in the right place, Bethlehem. This is the God who sent his son to come in weak human form, to live a perfect life, to obey in the way none of us ever could, and to die on a cross, to pay the price for our disobedience, our weakness, our failure. This is the God who 3 days later raised him from the dead so that all who believe in him might have everlasting life. And this is the God who has sent his Holy Spirit on his people, as we'll remember next week, so he might do mighty works through us, even though we're weak and fragile. The sovereign and good God is saving a people through weak instruments like you and me for his glory. Can you do it? Can I do it? Can Moses do it? No. But God can do it through us. There's some questions that we can think about, and I'll leave them up on the screen at the end as well to reflect on. Maybe just take a moment to think about those, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Dear God, we thank you that you are bigger and stronger, and you are able. And we thank you that in your great wisdom you use weak people like us to bring about your purposes. So we pray that you'd enlarge our vision of you, and that you'd help us to trust you and to offer up our lives in your service. Amen. We're going to sing straight away?